Thanks for tuning in to this message from the Los Altos Grace Brethren Church. We hope this will be an encouragement to you. You can find out more messages and more about our church at www.lagbc.org.
Before they start, I just want to say that we had a really wonderful time this week. It was hot. It was humid. But the kids were awesome. And, you're out here, you're seeing them up here now. It was a great, wonderful week, really focused on Jesus. A lot of kids have been telling stories about how they maybe met Jesus for the first time or how Jesus has impacted them since. These songs that they're going to share with you are kind of main songs that really touched us this week, kind of the theme for what we were doing. So pray for them while they're singing to God and sing along with them too, okay?
Toss me to the flames. No one but my King walks me out unscathed. Feed me to the lions, throw away the key. How will they deny who delivers me? How could I stop another? My knees bow only to one name. My lips have one King to proclaim. I will lift none other high. This is my one heart's cry, no compromise. Oh. Gold, I won't be seduced. Can't be bought or sold, I am rich in you. How could I serve another? My knees bow only to one name. My lips have one kin to proclaim. Lift none other high. This is my one heart's cry, no compromise. Oh, no compromise. Domes crumble. God, you will.
And it's so great to see you all here today. We had a great time at camp, didn't we? Huh? Had a really, really great time. You know, I love that we got a chance to have the video with some movement in it and everything else, so you guys get a chance to see just a little bit of what goes on. And yet I was thinking as I was watching it, I'm not even sure then it really captures the spirit, you know, that we share there. But the Lord definitely met us this week. We had a really great time and really had opportunity to really focus in on what this theme, no compromise, actually meant. You look at the picture up there, right, on the no compromise. It's got a little like fish thing with an eyeball in it, and you kind of wonder, well, what is that? And you know, I was wondering, what is that? But what it is there's a logo out there called No Fear, okay? And that logo is sort of shaped like a pair of glasses with a big eye and a little eye in it. And it is this idea that, you know, you don't have to be afraid. And the very first thing we discussed this week was this idea that when we really want to live a life for Christ, a life without compromise, the only way we can do that is to live a life without fear. We have to take our fear and replace that fear with faith. We have to listen to the things that God says to us, that He promises us, and then we have to step up, buy in with all that we are, and when we start to slide back, we've got to remind ourselves just what it is that Jesus has done for us. In 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 14, it puts it sort of like this. It says, "Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, and be strong." Now, some of your Bibles, depending on what version you have, they might say something like, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, or be brave, or something of that sort. But that little line that's translated, act like men, it actually, I think, would translate into our vernacular very well if you just said, man up. You know, that's something you could say to a guy, you could say to a girl, and you really understand what it is, right? He's telling us that we need to look at the things that Jesus has done for us, and then we've got to stop whining and start living. Start living in the faith. So we have to man up. Apparently my slides aren't changing, huh? Hang on one second. So, the next verse, verse 14, says, do everything you do in love. All right, so you take those two concepts, this idea that we have to be on the alert, we have to stand on the promises that Jesus has given us, and then when we're interacting with each other, we have to do that in love. And so, our primary focus this week was this idea of no compromise, but we took it and we put it day after day into a little bit different aspect of the faith. But I think if you boiled all that down, you could wrap it up in three. The first one is that we're to love God, to love each other. And that sort of boils over into relationships. So what I'd like you to do first, if you have your Bibles, is go ahead and look with me at Mark chapter 12. And this is Jesus' great commandment to all of us. He was talking with a bunch of leaders. These leaders were questioning him about things. One of the scribes who was there was listening to how Jesus was answering the questions. And he thought to himself, hey, I'm going to find out what the most important rule is in all of the scriptures. And so he asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus answers him like this. He says, the greatest commandment is this. The foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Now, it's interesting, and I think it's important to note this, that this scribe was wanting to find out what the rules were. He wanted to know what the most important rule was so that he could make sure that he followed the most important rule. And what Jesus did was he sort of swapped it on him. He gave him the law, but not one that any of us can really measure up to. A law that isn't really focused on so much what you do or making sure that you do it exactly right, but a law that focuses on relationship.
Okay? So the man was asking about the rules, but Jesus was saying, no, it's really, really about a relationship. And about how you have a relationship with God, how you love Him with every fiber of your being. And then you turn around and as you love God, you love those that He brings in to contact with you. So we moved on to no compromise in relationships. Mike shared this little illustration with them to show that God has always existed as a relationship. You know, we talk about God existing as a triunity or as a trinity, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When you think about that for eternity, God has always been Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He has always existed in a relationship, in a community. The Father is not the Son is not the Spirit is not the Father, but they all are God together. And so when you think about what God has really done through Jesus Christ, is He created this world, He created each one of us, and then as we were separated from Him and unable to have a relationship with Him, Jesus came into the world. He, as a human being, lived a perfect life. At the end of that journey for Him, God asked Him to go to a cross and offer that life up as a sacrifice, and that's exactly what He did. He gave up the life that He had. And while He was hanging on that cross, God punished Him for my sin, your sin, your kid's sin, the camper's sin, the sin of the whole world was poured out on Jesus. Jesus took the penalty for us. And He did that so that He could invite us into this family with God, into a family of relationships. And that's exactly what He's done. When Jesus was raised from the dead, it was simply the proof, the exclamation point on the sacrifice that He made. It tells us that God accepted what Jesus did on our behalf. The Bible says that Jesus was delivered up because of our transgressions, and it says that He was raised because of our justification. In other words, He went to the cross because of my sin, and He was raised up because my sins were forgiven. Not yours, just mine. All of our sins were forgiven, right? And the fact that Jesus is alive right now is proof for us of that. So we have this wonderful opportunity to be invited in to the community, which is God, and to live in relationship with Him and with each other forever. And we focused a lot on this with the kids this week, because this is really, in our view, one of the most important things you can understand. Christianity was never meant to be a lone ranger kind of a thing. It's not meant for us to try to live on our own, just us and God. But it's something that's meant for us to do together. That's why the concept of spiritual family, the concept of church, because that's really what church is. It's about spiritual family. It's about the people, about the relationships. It's not about the place. It's not about the time we meet. It's not about the things we do, like sing songs or even you saw Savannah being baptized. You know, it's a wonderful thing when that happens, but that's not the church. The church is us. It's us being in relationship. And so we spend a lot of time focusing on how can we not compromise in those relationships. How can we make those relationships about love, about us doing what's best for our friend, our family member, our colleague, our fellow believer, the unbeliever that we meet on the street. Whatever it is, we're here to love and encourage in relationship. That's how God exists. And He's given us the privilege of being a part of that. And that's a really exciting thing. We also talked about no compromise in truth and thinking. Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." When you think of what Jesus has done for us, you know, the fact that He left heaven, you know, He could have just stayed there forever. He existed in a complete loving community. He needed nothing. Okay? But because He wanted us to be able to share in that, He left heaven. He became a man. Like I said, He died for us. He was raised for us. He lived a life in such a way that we're able to see what God is like in human form. We're able to understand God better, understand His love, understand His grace. And then there are all these promises that he gives to us. Promise about heaven and a future. Promises about being with us, never leaving us. Being with us always to the end of the age. Never forsaking us. Always being there with us so that we never have to worry about the future, because he's got the past, the present, and the future covered. Knowing that our sins, not just the ones we committed before we believe, but the ones that we commit after we believe, are all forgiven. This is all wonderful privilege that Jesus has given to us. It's his mercies. And so when we understand those mercies, the logical thing we can do is to present ourselves to him and say, hey, here I am. Take me. Use me. It's only our logical service of worship. Then verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. See, God just doesn't call us into this relationship and say, hey, present yourself to me and now what? He wants to transform us. He wants to take us and change us the same way that a caterpillar changes into a butterfly. He wants us to be completely transformed. And there's a process for that. And that process is the renewing of our minds. It's about learning to think right. You know, we did testimonies up at the cross. And one of the testimonies was sharing about a little guy sharing about how he used to have a hard time thinking right, and now he's starting to get his head around what the truth really is. And because he's thinking right, it's allowing him to behave right. You know, and it's just so exciting to see a kid get it and go, wow, this is, all I got to do is think the truth. And when I think the truth, everything seems to fall in place. It's a place we can't compromise. We have to bring every thought captive to Christ. We have to set our minds on the things that are in heaven, where Christ is, where our life is hidden with him. This is the way that God changes us. So I guess where I'd like to kind of wrap it up for us today, we've had a long morning, we got a big video, all that kind of stuff, and I just want to kind of tie it all together for you. And it's simply this, that Jesus didn't compromise at all. He lived an absolute perfect life. He never did anything wrong, not one single sin. He did everything his Father wanted him to do. He never, ever, ever messed up. And because he was perfect, he was able to offer his life up for us. He was able to become our champion. Okay? So when we look at you know, 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds and 10-year-olds and 20-year-olds and the few 70-year-olds who are up at camp with us, right, we say to them, don't compromise. Your life's going to be better if you don't compromise. But the truth is, right, we all do compromise. We're all going to have times where we slip back. We're going to have times where we're not thinking right and we get tripped up. And so how do we deal with that? In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, it says that John is writing his letter to his children, his spiritual children, so that they won't sin. So the best option is always don't sin, right? Do what God wants and you'll be good. But he says, if any of you do sin, you have an advocate, someone who's going to make a defense for you before God. And that person is Jesus Christ himself, the only righteous one who ever lived. That means when you mess up, Jesus is right there whispering in God's ear, hey, don't worry about them, I got them, they're good. So that means that any time that we find ourselves in a place where we know that we've compromised, we can always come back to God. We told the story of the Good Samaritan, of the prodigal son. And you guys know the story, right? A son who received his inheritance early, he went out and spent it on wild living. He finds himself sleeping in a pigsty, and he wakes up, and the Bible says he came to himself. And I always think that's the perfect illustration of repentance. All of a sudden, he woke up one morning and he said, what am I doing with my life? I'm laying here in the mud. My dad's servants have food, have shelter. They're way better off than I am. So I'm going to go back to my dad. I'm going to fall on my face. I'm going to tell him I messed up. And maybe he'll let me be one of his servants. And while he's on his way home to tell his dad that, his dad sees him from a long way off. And his dad gets up and he runs out to meet him. And as soon as he sees him, he gives him a big hug. He puts a coat on him. Now the kid is still thinking, I've got to fess up. So he confesses. He says, I messed my life up. You know, all I want to be is your servant. And dad's having none of that. You're my son. So he brings him in, puts a robe on him, has a big celebration, invites everybody over for a party because his son is back. That shows us how God sees us, guys. When we mess up, He's always waiting open arm for us. He's never saying, no, wait till you get it together. Then you can come back and talk to me. The Christian life, I'll say this this way, and this is the most important thing I said all morning, okay? The Christian life is a series of opportunities to renew your intimacy with God. You have a relationship with him. If you believed in Jesus, then you have that relationship and God will never take it away. God is always there. He promises to be with you always, even to the end of the age. When we mess up, we tend to kind of drift from God. God's always there for us, but we drift from him. All we have to do is change our thinking. All we have to do is say, what am I doing? God loves me. Turn back toward him and he will receive you back to himself. That's the Christian life. That happens to us over and over again. I'd like to say, no, it's all just straight up, everybody's good from here on out. But I know better than that. You're going to drift. You're going to compromise. Hopefully it will get easier and easier and easier not to. But the only way that happens is because you've come back to God and come back to God and come back to God and realized that he's always there, that he's always loving you, that he's always caring for you, that he's always helping you, that he never, ever, ever turns you away. That's the God's honest truth. And it's my prayer that you experience that in your heart and that it changes you forever. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your grace and your mercy, for your presence in this place and your presence in our lives. I thank you, Lord, for the way that you touched campers this week and staff, Lord, the CAs, the counselors, everybody. And I pray, Lord, that today for parents and family, I pray that you would touch us too, that you would make us aware of your love and your grace, and that nothing would ever cause us to walk away from you. Lord, you've reconciled yourself to us. You've come all the way to us. I pray, Lord, that we would simply and regularly turn toward you. For your kingdom's sake, Lord Jesus. Amen.